Yeah, we can see your head bouncing along just like everybody else in the studio. Good morning. I'm Beth Ann Koslovich, and welcome to The Conversation. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Beth Ann. We often find ourselves wondering how people feel about science these days for a variety of reasons.
Science, yeah, and also about space, you know. Orion is up there, and there's so many things that have been going on of late that seem to be changing how we view and certainly how kids are viewing space again, or maybe not. We're going to find out this morning. Because you know that in the 1960s, space travel was on the minds of many a kid. The cascade of Apollo missions, the money poured into America's space program, and the attitude towards science fueled the dreams of would-be astronauts. That included a small Japanese boy. Koichi Wakata grew up to realize that dream. He's logged a full year in space, or just about a full year in space, over a 20-year career. And on the anniversary of the Challenger explosion, he's in Hawaii and with us this morning. Thank you so much for being here. It's really lovely to have you.
My pleasure, Beth Ann. Thank you.
When you were little, this was a very big deal. I mean, as a little boy in the 60s and looking up and wondering what if. You've been here in Hawaii now since, over the weekend and in Hilo to be able to talk to the kids for Science Day over there and back to the Challenger Center on Oahu. As you talk to kids, are they still in that same kind of wonderment?
I think so. I saw their shining eyes when they're listening to our stories of space exploration, and that pretty much reminds me when I was 5 years old. That's when I saw the Apollo 11 lunar landing. As a small boy, I thought at the time only American astronauts and the Russian cosmonauts were flying in space. As a small boy in Japan, I thought it was beyond my reach, but thanks to the great international cooperation and NASA's leadership in training international astronauts in Houston, I'm here with you. So I think going to space really interests a lot of people, and then I was so happy to convey this excitement with the kids in Hilo.
After the Apollo missions, we saw sort of the interest wane a bit, and certainly the money going into NASA and a space program. Then it's generally, sort of we watched it come back a little bit. How do you peg where it is now in terms of interest, money flowing into the program, and what we might see in the future, given just some of the missions we've just seen fairly recently, including Orion?
Yeah, Orion was a very big success. The test flight in December, EFT-1, went really successfully. And we're flying space station, and right now we have two Americans flying on board the station. We're conducting a variety of experiments that will benefit, not only the Americans, but the entire world in medicine and engineering and materials. So we are gaining a lot of good thing from going to space and conducting experiments in space. And at the same time, going to somewhere we have never been, like to Mars, that really attracts a lot of people. And that's why we had a lot of interest when we flew Orion test vehicle about a month ago.
You talk about doing experiments in space. For a lot of people wondering, well, why space? Is it because it's so remote and in some ways some people might think relatively safe? Or are there other benefits that we don't realize about how it's important to do certain experiments in space?
We have been doing a lot of experiments in space, and most of those experiments are utilizing what we call microgravity. On orbit, everything floats. Using that environment, we are testing like a new technology to develop a new medicine, for example, medication to cope with different types or different strains of, for example, like influenza and muscle dystrophy or Alzheimer's disease. And utilizing our crystal growth in the microgravity will give us more insight into the development of this medication. So those are the technologies that we can benefit on the ground, not only in space. Of course, we are testing, gaining a lot of medical data so that we can send humans safely to space beyond the low Earth orbit, like, for example, to Mars.
You talk about technology. When you first started your career, a lot of the social media that we now take for granted wasn't even thought of yet. And even in the last several years, the development of what you've had access to on a regular basis has greatly changed from your last mission to one even just a couple of years ago.
Exactly. 6 years ago, when I flew on the space station for about 4.5 months, we did not have internet access. And we took a lot of pictures and we sent them down. And so the ground folks can distribute that, the images. But now we have internet access. When I flew last year on the station for about 6 months, almost every day I took pictures and I tweeted it. So it's amazing that we can share the excitement instantly from space, and a lot of, you know, retweets and replies. And so this social media's power is outstanding to convey the excitement in real time.
When you talk to students, not necessarily little kids, but students who perhaps want to make a career similar to yours, does the fact that you're able to give them such instantaneous information, you know, to, for them to know somebody up there is tweeting this right now, this is happening in real time, does that put a different spin on how we regard our place in space?
Yeah, I think so. The social media gives us like sensation that the space is like tangible. It's closer to us. And because by knowing what's really happening right now, I think you can learn, you know, a lot of things that is happening in space, you know, right at the moment. So I think especially young people are really benefiting from this social media's interaction of our activities.
Is that changing the way that we generally look at science?
Definitely, it's probably gives a broader or easier, faster access to the knowledge that everybody will benefit in searching for the unknowns in science. But I think general attitude or general, I don't know, spirit of searching for the unknowns, looking for something that we don't know, I think it's the fundamental desire of human beings and science has not been changed, in my opinion.
As you look at your career now, what else do you want to do?
That's a good question. And space is huge, and there are so many unknowns that we haven't seen yet. And by exploring the frontiers in space, we can gain new knowledge and technologies that humankind all benefit. The space program has become an international cooperation that spans around the globe. And whenever we, different countries, work together on the same goal, we encounter different challenges based on the different context, cultural context. But the outcome is always like pooling of visions to enhance our human society in a very peaceful manner. So I hope to continue on this human space exploration, so that we can not only gain new knowledge to enhance our life on the ground, but also enhance the peaceful international cooperation.
So do you want to be up there or down here, or don't you have a choice anymore?
Well, I'd love to, you know, go back in a heartbeat anytime. The space is a wonderful place to work. But, of course, you know, lying on the beach in Hawaii will be really nice. We took a lot of pictures of Hawaii. We have really good cameras on board the space station. These HD visions is amazing. Sometimes you can take pictures that looks better than the views that you see with your naked eyes.
Well, some might say that that's what happens when you're up in space, too. You get a whole different perspective that the rest of us just can't possibly understand. Thanks so much for helping us understand a little bit about your life, your career.
Thank you.
And how you see the space program developing with some of the kids that you've been talking to in Hawaii this week. Thanks so much for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Koichi Wakata is a Japanese engineer and JAXA astronaut. He's a veteran of four NASA space shuttle missions, a Russian Soyuz mission, and a long-duration stay on the International Space Station. Over his nearly two-decade career, he became the first Japanese commander of the International Space Station. He is in Hawaii this week.